Welcome to the EFM Morning Brief podcast. I'm your host, Wendy Mitchell. I saw that the festival called this podcast Hot News for Cold Ears, and I think that is true this year. I like that. Today we are joined by a longtime friend of this podcast, Scott Roxborough, who is European Bureau Chief for The Hollywood Reporter. Thanks for coming back, Scott.
Anytime, Wendy.
So how would you say it's feeling this year? You're out there on the ground talking to lots of people. Does it feel buzzy? What's the mood?
Yeah, it's surprisingly positive, I have to say. I say surprisingly because it's been so many years of doom and gloom in the independent film industry. The sky's been falling for a while now. There's that quote in Sirat, the Spanish film, the world's been ending for a while now. And that sort of feels like what the independent film industry has been. But this year, it's been the last couple of markets have been a bit more positive and a bit more positive. And this year in Berlin, it really seems, in general, positive, not even cautious optimism, but most people are fairly upbeat. And I think that has to do with a couple of things. I mean, we had a pretty good year for independent film last year in terms of the number and breadth of movies. I mentioned Sirat, Sentimental Value. It was Just an Accident that did really, really well commercially as well. And there's also my colleague, Lily Ford, wrote a story about it in our paper yesterday, that the Generation Z, the sort of younger generation, are going back to the theaters in large numbers, that those numbers are going up really strongly. And that is surprising for a lot of people. People thought that that generation was lost to their phones or to their couches, to Netflix. But that doesn't seem to be the case, that that's a fast-growing demographic, and that the particularly the art house audience maybe isn't the older 60-plus audiences that's going to die out, but maybe it's this younger audience, the audience is going to come in and grow. And I think that's inspiring a lot of people and is inspiring a lot of business at the EFM.
I love it, Scott. Don't we love a bit of positive energy? Nice to not have doom and gloom. It's funny, I was talking to Eskil Vogt, who is the co-writer of Sentimental Value recently, and he was telling me they've had a lot of really young people on TikTok responding to that film, even though it's about this fractured family, some heavy themes, and that just gives us all some optimism. So thank you for that. This has been the first year of EFM Animation Days, and I know you did a panel about this yesterday. It seems like a lot of people are buzzing about animation. So is that something you're seeing across the industry or just here in Berlin, or what's your take on animation right now?
Look at what we saw last year, a Demon Slayer, Japanese anime, clearing almost 800 million worldwide, a film like Chainsaw Man, another anime, doing phenomenal business in the United States, very sort of hardcore animated product that you wouldn't normally think would do that well. And out of Europe, you've got, well, there's two animated films that are Oscar nominees, Arco and Little Amelie, a hand-drawn French animation that's just stunning and beautiful. Animation has always been big business, but it's now, I think, finally getting recognized, particularly within sort of the snooty art house circles, as being really significant, artistically significant. But from the industry side, from sort of particularly the European industry side, I think it's still not quite recognized how important and how valuable for the whole industry animation can be. I mean, these are some of the most commercially successful films produced. They are always, if you look at like German animation, which doesn't get a lot of attention, but exports of German animation are incredibly significant for the country's sort of overall export. And they're almost always among the top commercially most successful exports of any given year. And I think that should be really acknowledged. And I think one of the issues at the moment isn't really the creative side, because we've seen how impressive European animative filmmakers are and the kind of stories they can create, but more on the infrastructure side, particularly distribution is still a big issue that you don't really have in most territories, many companies that distribute animated films. So you tend to have animated film distributors who maybe do anime, but they won't do grown-up adult animation, auteur-driven animation. And if you have auteur-driven distributors, they tend not to want to do animation. So animation is still sort of classified or put in the ghetto of being kids' movies. And I think that's holding the industry back a bit. But I think things are changing. I mean, the fact that the European film market is doing a day specifically directed at animation and focusing on that, the sessions I've seen, the panels, the discussions I've had suggest there's a huge demand for that, and that the animated industry is really happy to be here in Berlin and not only in Annecy, the big animated film festival in France, but to have a place at this film festival, and they would like to see that sort of to have their place at the table at all the big festivals and all the big events, because they definitely deserve it, and they are one of the part of the future of European cinema, I would say.
Yeah, I think Berlin should get credit for really seeing the value to the whole industry, like you said, of animation, and giving this platform for discussions and all these pitches, and it's been wonderful. And, you know, just to echo what you said, yeah, it's, you know, something like Flow. Of course, that's been about 2 years now, but that film really, I think, opened a lot of people's minds about European animation as well. And, you know, I'm humming it every day. Golden from K-pop Demon Hunters had better win that best song Oscar. I'm saying it here. Yesterday, when we spoke to Elsa, she was saying she was getting a lot of party invitations. Now, Elsa is very popular. I know you are too, Scott. That might sound on the surface a bit frivolous, but I think there's a more important lesson that companies are really investing in their experiences here in Berlin. And maybe they see it worthwhile to have a party here or a reception. And, you know, even something like last night, I went to the Edinburgh International Film Festival, they've traditionally done maybe a small dinner here, and they had a bigger reception this year. So it brought in all these amazing international guests that are gathered here in Berlin. What does that say to you? Does it seem like Berlin as a sort of gathering place has gotten this more momentum? Is it more of the same positivity?
I would say it's a part of that sort of positivity that I mentioned at the beginning. The idea that the industry in general is more optimistic, there is more money coming in, and that feeds into, yeah, these so-called superficial things like the parties, the events. But that's for me, when I go into any market, I always look at those markers. I look at how crowded are the hotel lobbies? How many parties are there? What kind of parties are they? Just sort of small cocktails or big blowouts? That really tells you how much money these companies have to spend and how optimistic they are that the business is going to keep growing. You always see before the crash of sort of any indie wave that is what first starts getting pulled back. You're like, oh, I'm not really sure if we can afford to send these many people or if we can afford to have this event and so forth. Those things are the first things that get cut. So seeing them come back in force and seeing, you know, here in Berlin, so many events and parties every night is a really good sign that the independent film business is in a good place and hopefully has a fairly positive future, at least for the next couple of years or next 6 months or next 2 months. I don't know. But it looks good at the moment.
That is good. We'll have to do a sort of canapé count 1 year, me and you, Scott, and compare what that sign of life is. But I'm glad you agree it is another sign of positivity. Scott, I know you've been writing a lot here. Anything you want to mention that you've been writing about or reflecting on?
Well, I mean, some things we've touched on already. I think in general, it is a fairly positive market, at least. I would say there is a bit of a disconnect between the market and the festival at the moment in terms of their positioning, because the market, as I say, is very sort of optimistic. There's a lot of commercial films out there, a lot of sort of audience engaging films. Berlin's lineup this year, festival-wise, is a bit more heavy art house, I would say, which has some appeal, of course, but maybe not as much market appeal. We'll see as things go ahead. Maybe there will be some of these films from here that at the festival that will really pop and will get, you know, purchased and go around the world. But at the moment, it seems there is a little bit of a disconnect between sort of the positivity I'm seeing at the market and the, I wouldn't say negativity at the festival, but just the more serious mood, serious sort of auteur experience that seems to be the case with most of the films screening at the Berlinale. I would always like to have one or two just fun movies in the festival in competition that sort of can lift the mood. I haven't had any of those yet, so I'm still waiting on those. But in general,
yeah, but it's early days.
It's still early days. Definitely. And as I say, in general, the industry itself seems really happy, and the market is very positive. And if that is working, then everything else will follow.
Yeah, exactly. And we do have, you know, Charlie XCX coming up. We've got Channing Tatum is going to be in town, I believe, with Josephine, which was the big Sundance hit. I wouldn't call that light. I think it's really about a young person going through some trauma. But yeah, there'll be some festival title buzz by the end, I'm sure. So a very positive Scott Roxborough joining us. Thank you, Scott. You better get ready for the next round of parties and the next round of stories. And thanks again for joining us as every year. Thanks, Scott.
Of course. We'll see you on the cocktail circuit.
It's Sunday. Of course, we do not believe in weekends off during a busy market like the EFM. So here are a few highlights today. You can start with some tech insights at 10 a.m. with the session Resilient by Design, Women Shaping Tech-Driven Businesses, a documentation center. At 11:30, also at the documentation center, Europa Distribution is gathering experts from across the value chain, looking at how to strengthen synergies and collaborations to further the reach of independent European cinema. I will be moderating that one. Come hear about some amazing entrepreneurial, exciting new business models and ideas at 2 p.m. today as 12 startups from Europe and beyond take the stage for the EFM Startups Pitch. This is also at Documentation Center. This is going to be fast-paced and exciting to listen to, and it's presented in collaboration with Screen International. In the afternoon, you shouldn't miss a fireside chat with producer David Kaplan. This is at 3:30. This is the one Elsa was excited she's going to be moderating. This is again part of the conference at Documentation Center. He has made some great films like It Follows and Short Term 12 and Josephine, which is sure to be one of the hits here at the Berlinale because it was a smash at Sundance. At 5 p.m., you can learn about the evolving world of nonfiction funding in a session called Data on Impact, Please. That's in collaboration with Doc Around Europe. At the Producers Hub at Gropius Bau, you can get your day starting at 9 a.m. if you're up an early bird, with the Breakfast Club, which is hosted by Vimeo today. Then at 10 a.m., you can join an interactive, very practical panel about streamers' regulations and financial obligations. At 4:30 p.m., come back for more Vimeo. Vimeo exec Derek Rhodes will be offering some practical steps to finding an audience for your short film. At Cafe Connect, the morning starts with an XR breakfast co-hosted by Doc Salon's main partner, FFF Bayern, followed by a talk at 10:30 with Deadline's Matt Carey, in conversation today with Bridie O'Connor about moving from archival research into documentary filmmaking. We've got a trio of pitching sessions at the Cinemobile today. That will start with Moroccan fiction and documentary at 2:30, followed by fiction from Uruguay at 4, and then Greek fiction at 5:30. Today, the Berlinale Series Market has its first get-together and will get fully underway at Cinemax on Monday with conference sessions, screenings, and networking. And if you are planning ahead for tomorrow, make a note that a session called Marketing That Works will kick off the last day of the conference. That's going to be at 10 a.m. on Monday in the Documentation Center. You'll get some great tips from global content marketing experts. So we'll be back tomorrow morning with a lot more highlights to plan your Monday. Thanks for tuning in, and maybe you'll bump into me and Scott Roxborough having beer and canapés out there tonight.